we thank God and give Him praise for His incredible gift that He gave us in our Lord Jesus Christ. What a gift that He gave. Today, as the world celebrates, let's think about it. And let's consider who He is. Like I said, His birth was prophesied over 4,000 years ago. That's right. You know, prophets in the Bible, especially Isaiah. In Isaiah 7 and 14, he talked about it. He said, well, it's coming a time. He gave a prophecy. It was due a prophecy at the time, but, you know, a virgin also shall conceive, he said. Glory to God. I should call his name Emmanuel. Ha, praise God. He was prophesying about the Christ. And he did. And then for that on, later on, he said that unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Well, his name also powerful. He shall be called many things. Praise the Lord. His name shall be called. So the lesson today is, what do you call him? Well, here it says his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isn't that wonderful? This little child that was born, that people think was born in a manger and all of that. And he was born in a manger. But he's not only the Mighty God, he's also the very Everlasting Father. And he's the Prince of Peace. It's all wrapped up in one. You know, and this is what Isaiah prophesied. Said, people will call him this. They will call, his name shall be called. Well, what do you call him today? You can call him Wonderful, because, you know, scripture says that of him. You can call him Counselor, because scripture says that of him. You can call him the Mighty God, because the scripture says that of him. You can call him the Everlasting Father. You can say that of him. You know, till today, when people pray, believers, you know, and, you know, I mean, people that really love the Lord, sometimes they'll pray, they'll say, Lord, we thank you, and they talk to the Lord as, you know, the Lord Jesus. They will, in their prayer, in the same sentence, they'll call him Father. They'll say, Father, we thank you, Lord. You know, I do that too. I call him Father. I call him Lord. I mean, I call him Savior. You know, because this is what the Bible says. He will be called the Everlasting Father. He will be called the Prince of Peace. You call him that. Jesus himself told disciples, look, you call me Lord and Master, and so I am. You know, and so, you know, people call him many things. What do you call him? I mean, there are many names they gave him in the Bible, you know, circumstances and things and what they meant, what he meant to them and so forth. They'll call him, you know, so people talk about, you know, God's redemptive names and so forth. All the Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Sikeno, Jehovah Ra, you know, and so forth. You know, it's, you know, what he meant to them at the time, you know. So they, people gave him all kinds of names, you know. They say, he could be called this, he could be called that. But what do you call him? Well, let me tell you a little bit about him. 4,000 years predicted, and the birth, when it happened, was happened exactly. You know, Micah talked about it many, many thousands of years in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. He said, thou Bethlehem, was predicted, was going to be born in Bethlehem. As a matter of fact, Herod, when he was trying to figure out where the Christ would be born so he can send and kill the babies, asked all the people, the scribes and so forth, the chief rulers, people that knew the scriptures, where will Christ be born? Search the scriptures. And they went and searched. And they found this place in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, where it says that thou Bethlehem Ephrathah. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old. Even though it looked like he was born as a baby, his going forth have been from. He didn't just set up shop, you know, when Joseph and Mary, you know, went over there. No, he had been from beginning, from everlasting. Hallelujah. And that's one thing about him. I mean, so mighty, so great, the Lord of heaven. Yet he came in such a simple manner that most people missed it. Most people on the earth, even the people that searched the scriptures to know where he will be born, they missed him. Well, they eventually said, well, because he moved to Galilee and Nazareth and these places. They said, well, yeah, nothing good can come out of those places. Well, I missed it. And he lived for only 33 years and a half, according to record books. Yet there has been more written about him than anyone else in history. Even people who have lived, you know, over 100 years, they never had anything written about them like Jesus was. Only 33 and a half years. Can you imagine? 33, you know, I don't even remember what I was doing when I was 33 and a half. You know, that was a long time ago. You know, this man in such a short time, and actually for the first 30 years, you know, he wasn't really, there wasn't much said about him. He was preparing. So you can really say in 3.5 years, my goodness, you know, in 3.5 years, you know, he performed miracles that are unparalleled. Walked upon the sea, calmed the raging sea. I mean, did all kinds of miracles, healed the sick, the blind, the lame, you know, took a couple of loaves and fishes and used to feed thousands. I mean, you can go on and on. And the climax of it all was he was crucified, but yet he came out of the grave by his own power, because he said, you know, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it again. That was the Spirit of the Lord speaking in him. People wondered about that. Well, you know, and at his death, this is how great he was. When he died, there was blackness over the earth, because the light of this world was put out for a minute. The temple veil was rent in Matthew chapter 27. The rocks even were rent. The graves were opened. Ha! Hallelujah. At his death. I'm not even talking about the resurrection yet. Just at his death alone, people started coming out of the graves and they stood up at attention. But they can't really come out of there yet, because they're kind of still in limbo waiting for the new body. Because Christ had to be the first fruits of that new body. But they stood up, signifying even some greater resurrection that will be coming. This is all, that was part of the first resurrection. They all come out of there, they stood up, but not coming out just yet. But then after his resurrection, they came out and showed themselves to many in the holy city. Some of you might say, is that really in the Bible? Well, of course. We've read it a few times in this room, you know, but let's read it again, just in case you didn't know, or perhaps you were not well informed that this was in the scriptures. We're going to pick it up at, you know, verse 50 of Matthew 27. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. We don't know how many there were, but there were many, you know, and came out of the graves after his resurrection. So they arose right there, you know, stood right there for 3 days or whatever, and 3 nights. And when Christ was resurrected, they also came out. Now they got a new body, fashioned like unto Christ's new resurrected, glorified body. And they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, this is the influence that Christ had on things. You know, I mean, whether living or dead, you know, whether he was himself alive or being crucified, he was just influencing things. Graves opening up. You know, this book that is we call the Bible today is all about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, it has been the best seller, you might say, of all ages. Nothing like this book. You'll find this book in every nook and cranny, anywhere, hotels and everywhere. You'll find this book. They've been published and sold billions of copies of this book. You know, I mean, his name is hallowed by thousands and thousands of angels in heaven. It's proclaimed by billions upon the earth. That's right. You know, the world history is written after him, you know. And, you know, today we say, well, you know, they categorize history, whether it's before Christ or after his death. You know, it's either B.C. or A.D. It's all about him. The center of history. Yes. You know, and at the mention of his name, millions of devils tremble, wherever they may be. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and Omega. But what do you call him? Well, you know, what do you call him? Do you call him Savior? Have you experienced that attribute of him? Do you call him Healer? Have you experienced that from him? Do you call him Redeemer? Sammy said, he redeemed my life from destruction, crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercies. I mean, this man, David, he wrote a lot of things that he wanted to call the Lord. He called him, the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. He called him his rock. He called him his fortress. He called him his buckler. He called him his hiding place. I mean, the Lord is my buckler. He holds me together when I'm falling apart into pieces. Yeah, that's what a buckler is. You know, it's like, buckle up, you know. Yeah. So he'll hold you in place, help you pick up your life when things are shattered and falling apart. He'll hold you in place. His name is a strong tower. You run into it, you're safe. I mean, you can hide under his shadows. Feathers, you can go on and on. You know, what do you call him? You know, what is he to you? Hallelujah. Well, you know, he could be to you whatever you call him. Because he's beautiful for every situation. And he can be your healer. He can be your provider. He can be your buckler. You know, when you're losing it, come in there and help you hold it all together. He can be your deliverer. Hallelujah. He's your song too. You know, you can sing about him. It can become your salvation. I mean, he is the great, the terrible one. The Lord of hosts is his name. I mean, he has so many titles that people have given him over the years. Literally thousands of years now since he appeared. We are already now in year 2023. You're about to get into 2024. So that's, you know, that's almost, 2,000 years and 70 or 50 something since he showed up. You know, so, I mean, just think about it. He was just everything written about him is great. And so many names, so many attributes of him revealed. And there are things that we haven't even found out about him. I want to encourage you in this season and as you go through this year and up through the next year, discover more of Him. Hallelujah. I'm personally going through a period of discovery. I'm praying that He will reveal more of Himself, some other attributes of Him that I can adore and become. See, what we see in Him, what we adore in Him, is what we can become. You can't become anything, you know, if you don't see that first in Him and adore it. We don't have the mental or spiritual capacity many times to, you know, grasp all of His attributes. The flesh can't do it. You know, that's why we got to consecrate and put His flesh under, you know, so that we can experience, you know, some of His attributes. But what is He to you? What has He done for you lately? You know, and take time to count the blessings that He has poured into your life. I mean, you might come up with some a different name for Him. What do you call it? You know, and my natural language where I grew up in is called the Yoruba language. And it's so rich. You know, sometimes I have to drop down into that language, you know, in order to really, you know, give Him some love. Because, you know, I mean, there is some ways that people have crafted the glory and, you know, greetings to the Lord and His accolades in that language that is like none other. Well, you can call Him your own language, whatever you know. What do you call Him? What is it to you? Praise God. Many people go through life, sadly, not discovering this Jesus. And so we owe it to the Lord to let Him be known. This is a season such as this, perfect opportunity. Because, you know, this is the reason for the season. They don't know it. This is an opportunity, you know, to share the message of the gospel, and that Jesus Christ is the center of it all, and is the center of everything, because it has pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. It also pleased the Father that He, Christ, should be the heir of all things, should be the possessor. And that's why He was the only one that could open that seven sealed book, which you might call the title deed to everything, you know, and He got it. Praise God. Now, at the end of His earthly ministry, which all that Christ was doing while He was here was showing us His human side of Himself, you know, just to show us how to live and function in the kingdom. That's His human side. That's all He was here showing us. And when He took the book, you might call it the title deed, which nobody else could look upon, let alone even open. And at the end of His human life here, He said, all power, yes, wrapped up in heaven, in earth, everywhere else, all that contained inside that book, that caused it to be sealed seven times over, it's given unto Me, He said. Glory to God. He's giving. Now, God can put one seal on something and nobody can open it. He doesn't need seven seals. One seal from God, that's it. I am He that shutteth and no man openeth. Just one seal. But now He put seven seals around it. And nobody. They looked for John. He looked for angels. Not could step up. He looked for apostles, even like Himself. He was one of the apostles. Nobody could step up. He looked for prophets. They couldn't step up. He looked for pastors. Nobody. He looked for evangelists. Nobody. I mean, teachers. Nobody. I mean, just every which way He looked, even the cherubims, the seraphims, everybody in heaven and earth, anywhere else, nobody. And so He began to cry and cried a lot. He said, I wept much in Revelation chapter 5. And then somebody tapped him and said, hey, don't worry about it. Weep not. And we found a solution. We found what you're looking for. We found what everybody's looking for. What you couldn't find in anyone else, we found it in someone. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed to open the book. And so John said, when I turned and looked to see who this lion was, and who is this one that can open the book where nobody else could even look upon the book? And being turned, he saw, glory to God, a lamb, a bloody lamb. Now that's how Christ did it. You know, at the point when the devil thought he was weakest, put him on the cross, nail him to the cross, throw him inside our grave and everything, that was his strongest. Glory to God. It was through his weakness. The moment that they thought he was, we got him now. Spared him on the side, shed his blood and water and everything. It was that very moment that the devil thought, I got you now. That's what put the final nail on the devil's coffin. That's right. He blew back the rocks, the angel did, and he come out of there. The angel of the Lord rolled back the stone. He come out of there. You know, the graves could not keep him down. He said it, predicted it, prophesied it before he even went. He said, hello, I've told you these things to the end that when they happen, you might believe. So he said, 3 days as Jonah was in the belly of the womb, belly of the whale, 3 days and three nights, so will it be with the Son of Man. You know, so Jesus did spend 3 days and three nights in the earth, graves, and so forth. You know, so some people celebrate the death of Christ on a Friday and his resurrection on a Sunday. Well, that's not 3 days and three nights. That's inaccurate. He could not have died on Friday if he was going to be raised up on Sunday morning. That would not be 3 days and three nights. So there's a lot of fallacy in the things we celebrate. Nevertheless, you know, pick a date and do it, but it's not accurate. Same thing as Christmas. It's not accurate that he was born on December 25. We know that. It's not accurate. But okay, so fine. Whatever day it is, pick a date, celebrate. You know, but, you know, he did actually spend 3 days and three nights. You have to calculate it backwards from, you know, and in the beginning of the week, which was the day after Sabbath, was when he rose up. You have to calculate backwards 3 days and three nights from that to figure out when he died. But that's not my subject today, you know, but this man influenced the world like nobody else until this day. Till this day. Hallelujah. When his name is called, demons tremble. Glory to God. And you can use that name. You can use that blood. And until this day, we're told that those that got the victory over the devil, they were using the blood of the Lamb and the power and the word of their own testimony. You know, and they were not afraid of death, because that's a weapon that the devil used to hold people under bondage. As it is written in Hebrews chapter 2, he said Jesus died that through his death, you know, he might release and deliver those who were all their lifetime subject to bondage because of the fear of death. But Jesus broke that fear. He said, you know, you don't have to be afraid of that anymore. You know, praise the Lord. So we see that the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. You can call him the shepherd and bishop of your souls. In fact, there are so many attributes and titles of the Lord in this Bible. You can write pages and pages and pages. You know, some people call him the strength of Zion. Some people call him the rock. You know, and some people call him Ebenezer. You call him this, the day, the bright and the morning star. You call him, the lily of the valley. You call him the son of righteousness. What do you call him? I mean, these are people that call him multiple things in the Bible. But what do you call him? What's he to you? Praise God. Jesus must be center and have that, you know, claim over our lives. That's it. You know, Bible says you are bought with a price. People don't like that. One day I'll teach you about that. You know, we're not our own. We're not ourselves. You know, we don't own ourselves anymore because of what he did. Hallelujah. It's an exchange. You know, he gave his life up, but he said to me too, before he did it, he said, look, this commandment I've received of my Father, that I should both lay my life down and take it up again, and that I should give eternal life to as many as come to me. So I received this commandment from my Father. Nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down and I pick it up again because my Father gave me that commandment. And I will pick it up again after 3 days. And the Lord ordained those 3 nights and 3 days. Go down there and whoop the devil. Also preach to all the souls that were waiting since the time of Noah and all that destruction and so on. And say, well, I am he that the prophets have prophesied. And they saw it and it was jaw dropping. I mean, they're just, my goodness, they couldn't say a word. And of course, the devils fled. Jesus rounded them up, led captivity captive. You know, he took the prey, you know, out of the mouth of the destroyer. And he set us free. Basically, now we have liberty through what he did. So today, what do you call him? What do you call him? Let me read to you a few other things about what we should call him. Just in case some people, you know, often forget who he really is. You know, I mean, he came in the form of a man. We understand that. But he's way beyond that. This is how John, he liked to call himself the beloved disciple. Well, I think I'm the beloved son of God too, or disciple, or whatever. You know, you can have that relationship too. You know, John doesn't have exclusive to that, you know, but that's the way he saw himself. You know, so what do you think is your relationship with the Lord? And who is he to you? Well, let's see how John put it in 1 John chapter 5, you know, and here's how he put it. He said, the whole world is in darkness, but we are of God. Let's read it from John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. And we know that we are of God. Do you? Do you know that you are of God? And the whole world lieth in wickedness. He said it, and it's true. And we also know that the Son of God is come, and that's capital S, which was Christ. And he has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. That's right. Christ came, introduced the Father. He was always telling the people, when you pray, call him your heavenly Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And people were scared before that to call God Father. Maybe one or two places in Isaiah and another place in Jeremiah say, well, you are our Father. But they didn't really have that relationship. But Christ was constantly introducing that. Your heavenly Father, your heavenly Father, your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Your heavenly Father, your heavenly Father. Well, he came that we may know him. That is true. You know? But the same truth is wrapped up even in Jesus Christ. It's a mystery. It's amazing. You know? And we are in him that is true. Even in his Son. Now, he that is true, you know, that's the eternal God. And his Son is in Jesus Christ. Now, this, Jesus Christ, is the true God, and to know him is eternal life. That's it. Can't get it anywhere else. And Jesus said, you know, no man comes to me, I mean the Father, except by me. You know, he knew that you got to go to the Father, but you can't do it except by Christ. And so he put it out there. And what do you call him today? What are some things? Yesterday I started to ask people, well, put it in the chat room, what you call him. And people said, but the way I put it yesterday was, what is the attribute that comes to mind when you think of him? That's what I said yesterday. So I'll say it again today a different way. What do you call him? Put it out in the chat room. You know, let's give the Lord some love. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. You will be raptured in his love at all times. That's what he's saying. That's right. You know, put it out there. What do you call him? You know, some might call him Jesus Christ. Some might call him King of Kings. Some might call him Lord of Lords. You know, some might call him Savior. Some call him Redeemer. Some call him the Lily of the Valley. Some call him, you know, the Lion of Judah. Some call him the Bride and the Morning Star. Some call him the Son of Righteousness. I mean, what do you call him? David, he personalized it most of the time. He would say, my God, my fortress, my buckler, my shield, my hiding place, my rock, and my defense. You know, hallelujah. The Lord is a rock. We know that. But is he your rock? Hallelujah. The Lord is a savior. He said, said, look, besides me, there is no savior. We know that. But is he your savior? The psalmist is personalized. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, the Lord is your shepherd. Is he? And he's the shepherd. We know he's the good shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. Is he your Lord as well? Now, we know that Jesus is Lord. That's right. You know, Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. And at the end of the days, every knee, no matter who, even that Lucifer himself, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. You know, right now, people have the opportunity to confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior now, or they're going to do it under the rod of iron, because the great man-child will rule the earth with a rod of iron and bring everything into alignment in 1,000 years. And righteousness, you know, Bible says, look, bring in everlasting righteousness. Daniel prophesied it. He gave the number of days and years until he will bring in everlasting righteousness and anoint the most holy and bring everything into alignment, just like Adam was supposed to have done. It will happen at the end, and every knee will bow one way or another. Now, today, all around the world, whether they know it, understand it or not, some is just about commercialism. You know, the stores is all about what can they sell. Many people, it's about, you know, what lights they can put up. Others, it's about, you know, what gifts they can find under the tree, or this and that, or what gifts they can send, or what gift they can receive, open their Christmas present, open their Christmas cards. You know, well, that's what it means to them. What does it mean to you? So what do you call him? Praise God. He be to you whatever you want him to be. He's beautiful for every situation. So put it out there. Show the Lord some love. Let me see. I need a few more things. You know, people are not responding. Put it out in the room chat, if you would, please. What is he to you? Let's do it. What is he to you? Is he your savior? Is he your healer? Huh? Healer is something that we need from time to time. Not only will he heal your body of sickness, he will heal mental illness, he will heal the instability from time to time that comes into our minds, he will heal the bitter waters, you know, and so forth. And when you call him healer, you call him by his name. So what is he to you? Praise the Lord. You know, is he your fortress? Is he your rock? Is he your defender? Is he your shield? Is he your buckler? I mean, what do you call him? Praise God. Well, let's celebrate him today. You know, let's give the Lord some love. And every chance you get, today and every day, really, but this season especially, when people are saying happy holidays, you say to them, well, Jesus is the reason for this season. And it doesn't really matter if they want to hear it or not. What difference does it make? Nobody ought to be able to shut you up. Look, whether you want to hear it or you don't want to hear it, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. Whether they like it or not, that's the way it is. And if they want to take a little time to hear about it, you can tell it to them. You don't say, hey, you know, do you know this Christmas story, the beginning thereof? You know, people are celebrating unknowingly, and they have commercialized, made it all about wrapping up presents and Christmas trees and lights and all these things, which has nothing to do with him. But he was the gift of God to the world. Hallelujah. So as you unwrap your presents, you can tell them, why don't you unwrap the gift of God as well to the world? He's got it. It's waiting for you. And everyone can have it too. It's God's gift to the world. He packaged it. The grace of God that brought salvation has appeared unto all men. He packaged the grace of God, the law that drew salvation's plan, the grace that brought it down to man. Yeah. Oh, the mighty God that got this plan at Calvary. We used to sing those songs back in those days. You know, and this is a perfect opportunity. Anyone that would listen, share the gospel and give a shout out to the Lord. Hallelujah. And let's make it about Christ. And you know, the next thing about Christ, hallelujah, is he's going to fully redeem his church. That's right. You know, and we are on the verge of God showing up in the sons of God. I must be a demonstration. You know, I must be a demonstration like Christ. There must be a demonstration. Be a quick short walk. Who knows? Maybe it'll be, you know, for 3.5 years just like Christ. I don't know. Maybe it'll be shorter. Maybe it'll cut, you know, Bible says cut the walk short in righteousness. Because the days are evil. It'll cut it short. We don't know. But there will be a representing and representation of the kingdom and the glory of God upon the earth through the sons of God, just like the first son. We will do the same. And then all I go to prepare you a place, and I will come and get you to myself, that where I am, wherever he is, there we will be. If he's in the heavenly places right now, we're there with him. When he comes back down to the earth, you know, we'll be back with him. Enoch said, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, whithersoever he goeth. You know, Bible said, you know, in Revelation 14, I saw a lamb standing on heavenly Mount Zion. And with him, 144, which are a representation of this group that follow him whithersoever he goeth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson for today. Let us give a shout out to the Lord. You know, what Jesus actually asked us to remember him by was not so much of his birth. He made no mention about his birth at all throughout his time. Somebody else wrote about it. But he did make mention of his own death multiple times. And finally, he even told, you know, what we now call the sacraments and different things, you know, different religions, call it whatever they want. He told the disciples, you know, that, look, this is my body that is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So he actually commanded that one, you know. But, you know, he didn't command us to be celebrating his birth. It's okay if you want to celebrate it. He could not have died if he wasn't born. You know, but there is more to him than just, you know, his birth. You know, the birth of Christ was the way that he had to come into this world in the nature Bible says he took not the nature of Abraham, angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. You know, and that's how he came, the book of Hebrews were told. And he tasted death for every man. You know, he tasted death for me already, so that I don't have to die anymore. Now in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. Father, we thank you for this great love that you bestowed upon us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us who were ungodly. Now, being then justified, glory to God, by his death and resurrection, we shall be glorified with him even in his life. We thank you, Father, for the grace of life that we have. Glory to God. Thank you for the incredible sacrifice. And Jesus, he went through it too. And he would not be deterred. For the price, the pearl of great price, for the goal that was ahead of him, the Bible says that he endured all of the contradictions of sinners against himself. And at the end, he got it too. For by one man's offense, death came into the world, then also by the prize, the free gift of God that God gave us through Christ, justification are received by many. And if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more also we who have received abundance of the grace and the gift of God, we will reign in this life by one, which is Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17. So Lord, we thank you that Jesus paid the price for Adam's disobedience. And the perfect obedience of Christ obliterated that disobedience, paid for it completely. And today, we thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to walk a life of obedience as well, in obedience to the faith. Now, as we celebrate and the whole world celebrates, may our life be a true reflection of the light that came into this world, that lightens every man. Hallelujah. That comes into the world. Jesus, the light of the world. And he turned around and called us also the light of the world. Now may our lives truly be light to this world, the salt of the earth he called us to. Thank you, Father. Help us to have that saltness in us. That we always have a word to encourage him that is weary. As it is written, it said, let your speech be with grace and seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Lord, we give you the praise and give you the glory. Let the joys and the celebrations of this season, glad tidings of great joy, let it be with your people. The voice of them that make merry, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord, the voice of those that will get up and shout the praise of the Lord and give him love. Not only today, but every day of our lives. The best way to love him is to be obedient to his will. Hallelujah. If you love me, keep my commandments. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.